and welcome to the NFL Draft.
This is Seattle Sports presentation of the NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick streaming on the Seattle Sports app.
Come on, man.
We are awaiting the pick of now Detroit Lions as they made a trade with the Dallas Cowboys, who were on the clock at pick number 24. Now the Lions with the 24th overall pick. The pick is in, so we will get the announcement here momentarily from Commissioner Roger Goodell, but that trade just happening. The Green Bay Packers will be on the clock after the Lions, and then the Tampa Bay Bucks following that as we start working our way toward the end of the first round. Again, in case you're just tuning in, Byron Murphy is the pick of your Seattle Seahawks, a defensive tackle out of Texas. So they stick at 16, thought they might trade out of that spot. They did not, and they go with Byron Murphy, who was the second defensive player taken in the draft. Setting some records is no defensive players were taken through, the first 14 picks of the draft this year. So we'll see what happens towards the end of this. But, yeah, the Lions awaiting the announcement of their pick. They traded up with the Cowboys to get.
It's got
to
be a corner, right? I mean, this got to be one of the Alabama kids, the Clemson kids, such a need. Detroit did so many things well in their turnaround last year. So physical, so violent, explosive. But, man, they had a hard time covering people. And, you know, Seahawks the last couple of years, in fact, torching them. So had a hard time covering people. I would imagine with just one corner taken through the first 23 picks, this has probably got to be a corner.
Yeah, it's got to be a corner. And you look at the way that they lost that NFC Conference Championship game. It's all about that defense. This offense is going to be good to go. You sign Amon-Ra St. Brown. You got Goff coming back. There are a lot of weapons on that offense. They have to be thinking defense, right? Because when you talk about matching up, when you talk about the best teams in the NFC, you look at the 49ers. They're the best team in the conference, in my opinion, right now. What do they have? They have bodies on defense that will get after you. So you got to mimic that in a sense.
Well, they're showing Terrion Arnold in the green room, cornerback out of Alabama. Maybe suspecting they moved up to get him. He's been hanging out there. He's somebody you brought up earlier, Brock. Kool-Aid McKinstry you brought up is still there. So one cornerback taken so far through the first 23 picks of this. And you guys both identify defense as being the big issue with this Lions team. So this would make sense that they felt the need to move up in order to get their guy here.
Yeah, it is. This is kind of the point of the draft where I think most of these evaluators felt like there was a pretty big ledge. I know that Schneider talks to you guys about that without giving specific spots, but to me, kind of get to the 20s here, the tackles are gone, the quarterbacks are gone, the top receivers are gone, and, you know, obviously the league didn't value these corners tremendously for them to still be sitting here. Well, that is such a need, yeah?
I think it would be so difficult to not get caught up in, like, okay, this is what we have, and this guy's the best, so we put him here. Mm-hmm. When really you're grading it based on every year, and to be able to recognize, hey, this is a bad year for corners.
That's right.
You know,
and the market's different every year. The market is what the market's willing to pay. And I'll say this too: back to Seattle, no other D tackles. You know, the kid out of Illinois is Newton's an explosive kid, a D tackle. I would think he would go in the first round. But, you know, that's also a little bit of a tell that, man, maybe this Murphy guy was kind of a unicorn in this class that we don't see another D tackle, another big position of need in the NFL going.
It'll be interesting to hear from John afterwards about, you know, how happy they were to get him and then, you know, what they thought about him. And, you know, that's, you know, whenever you hear that from him, that's where it's, I think, the most interesting is the afterwards. Like, okay, what did you see from this guy and why was he so special? And again, you know, these 14 offensive players going, I'm sure there's going to be some teams that are thrilled that thought they're going to get a player that they never thought they would be there for.
Lions pick is in. The commissioner's up there with a group of kids who I assume one of them will make the pick as one of them is stepping up to the mic. Let's see who the Lions are going with here.
Traded the 24th pick to the Detroit Lions. With the 24th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Terrion Arnold, defensive back, Alabama.
There There you go. So they were flashing to him in the green room there, making the assumption that was who the Lions traded up. Again, trading up with the Dallas Cowboys to move into that 24th pick. And they go with Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama.
Yeah, and if you're a Detroit Lion fan, you feel like the last couple years to everybody, like to Walter Football and all the other folks, he said, I don't really care how you grade me. You want to give me an F for taking a running back and a middle linebacker? Give me an F. But those two guys and Gibbs and the big linebacker out of Iowa made a huge difference for him. Like in this draft, they're probably going to get an A because you know what? They were patient and they waited and they let 14 offensive guys go and the market fell their way that they could get, you know, the second best corner. Who knows? Maybe their first rated corner right there in the middle of what, 24 to the Detroit Lions.
Brock, they're showing the Detroit Lions cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
You always giggle whenever I heard you with Mike. Oh, just any time he mentioned Dave married a cheerleader.
It's just here we very, go.
Very
here goes Wyman's filter. Have you been waiting for Wyman's filter?
I heard you with Mike McDonald because he apparently married a cheerleader.
He married a cheerleader. Like, said, that's great.
And you just instantly started giggling.
What? You and Moyer and Wyman got a lot in common now. It's awesome. I'm really happy for you guys.
He says it like he's telling a secret. Like,
yeah.
Well,
I'm in there. So yeah. What? You married a cheerleader.
Detroit Lions had, 26 against the pass last year. Mm-hmm. Or their defense overall was middle of the pack. So if there's anything that this team can improve on, it is their defense. Had one of the best offenses in the league the last couple of years. So it makes complete sense that they go this route right here, man.
Does Detroit kind of have some swag?
Lots of swag.
They've kind of turned it around,
Dan
right?
Dan Campbell has brought that to
he
the
team. He has. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think Hard Knocks helped.
Yeah.
I think getting behind the scenes and hearing and just the style that they play, man, they kind of match the city that they're in. You know, we talk about fit in these 20s. We talk about from Tottenham to Pittsburgh. Yeah. Yeah. And there's just certain fits, and, man, they have turned their brand around.
Long-suffering.
Yeah, very long-suffering. Packers pick is in. We'll give you that in a few moments. But just for anybody here, anybody that's left out there, you're surprised is still available, as we are now at the 25th pick. So you've got just a handful of picks left to round out this first round in terms of people you thought would be off the board by now.
Yeah, you kind of now get into the realm where maybe some of these centers, the kid out of Oregon, Powers Johnson, is a talented guy. Yeah. You kind of get into the point here where, you know, the other D tackle out of Illinois, Johnny Newton is a guy that kind of looked at there. Cooper DeJean is one of these just like multifaceted, you know, can play nickel, can play corner, could play safety. He's probably going to go here, I think, in the next 6 or 7 picks. So I wouldn't say terribly surprised, but those would be a few of the names that certainly have had some first-round buzz.
You know what I'm waiting for? I don't know if you – I don't know. You're too connected to the NFL, Brock. You probably don't play fantasy football. You know, you collusion on and all betting and all that
collusion.
Stuff.
Collusion.
You don't get involved. Don't get involved in that, Brock.
Now Bumpus's filter going down. I like this.
Don't collude, Brock.
I'm waiting for the run on linebackers to happen. This isn't a very deep linebacker class, but I feel like as soon as one is picked, guys are going to start – our team's going to start – jumping on that position. Mm-hmm. There's about 3 or 4 guys that I really like in this draft.
Well, I'm wondering if the Seahawks, and Dave and I have discussed this a lot, if that's something they'll address with some of their later picks, because you talk about the guys they brought over, there's no commitment there. It's a 1-year deal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they can't re-sign them if they have big years, but there's no out-of-the-gate belief that this is the guy that solves our problem for years to come. This is a for-now move. They did that with the majority of these signings, as a matter of fact.
Baker and Dotson,
Yeah. I mean, it just across the board, a lot of the alignment, everybody's a 1-year deal for the most part.
You know what name I like? Graham Barton, a guy who played tackle, who was projected to play guard and can play center. I wonder how long he hangs around if the Hawks try to get into that second round and pick up a guy like him and address that need on offense. Because I feel like you have to come out of this draft with an offensive lineman who's going to compete for a spot.
Yeah, and he played offensive tackle at Duke, right? Yep. And then I think they moved him inside. The one thing was like his arms were kind of short.
Yeah.
But like I feel like that shows up maybe on the edge, you know, as at tackle.
Yep.
Guard, center, I don't see a problem. That Powers Johnson kid from Oregon, he knocks the crap out of people.
Yeah, he does.
Man, the only thing, he kind of runs high when he's running downfield, and I feel like he's going to get juked probably in the NFL, but man, that's a tough guy. You know, and I think if you're building your trenches on both sides of the ball, get a guy like that who just likes to hit.
The only problem with him, Dave, is we had him in a production meeting, and he gave an 8-minute answer.
Oh, boy.
I don't think you would like him. Yeah. In fact, he said, you're going to like this one. And he went on, and Benetti had his little clock on his phone, or maybe I did. And I'm like, bro, he's seven.
Or maybe
minutes.
I did.
Hey, he's 8 minutes.
He told you you were going to like the answer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to like this answer. Oh, you're going to like this one. So a lot of personality out of that guy.
Well, you know what? One time we got a 9-minute and 4-second answer from a quarterback.
Yeah, Kelly Stoffer.
That we had on. Yeah.
Yeah, QBs tend to talk a lot.
Yeah. Case in point.
Yes. Lefko wasn't there for that one. Otherwise, he would have been pulling his hair out, going nuts behind the glass. But, yeah, that was a long answer. That's a lot of talking that goes on there. So, again, the Packers are in with their pick, waiting for the announcement here. They'll be followed by the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Arizona Cardinals with pick 27. The Buffalo Bills will answer all of the questions of Michael Bumpus. The Cowboys will follow that as they made that trade with the Lions, so they moved back down to 29. The Baltimore Ravens, the San Francisco 49ers, and of course the Kansas City Chiefs rounding out your first round. So we'll see what goes on with this one here. If we're going to get this one in before the break, Lefko, what do you think? We want to see what the Packers are going to do here. Okay, we'll see what they're going to do. Again, the Bucks are on the clock. Packers pick is in, waiting for Roger Goodell to make his way onto the stage and let everybody know what's going on in Green Bay with that team out there, with Jordan Love running the show these days, and taking a look at what their biggest needs. Is there something that pops immediately with that team?
Probably still some of that defense, right? Got some young receivers, you know, maybe offensive line as well. They've had some moving parts there and a bunch of different injuries, but kind of like Detroit, man, they were a neat story last year. Right, kind of came along and found their way. And
let's see who they go with here. Pick number 25.
The 2024 NFL Draft. The Green Bay Packers and hosts for the 2025 NFL Draft select Jordan Morgan, tackle, Arizona.
There's some very disappointed Packer fans right there on the screen. Offensive tackle out of Arizona, Jordan Morgan, and somebody with a giant cheese wedge on his head is very upset with that pick. And probably not the best place in Detroit to announce that the next draft is in Green Bay. You know, there's a little competition between those two organizations that was poorly received.
Do you guys see this guy?
He's one of Jed Fish's guys. Yeah, he's an Arizona Wild, good athlete.
6'5", 3'11".
Seventh offensive tackle. Seven.
Yeah.
We have got to be nearing some historic territory for offensive tackles in the first round. And Graham Barton might be number 8 here in the next couple picks as well.
And another thing we keep seeing, too, you look at these guys play, you read up on them, a lot of these tackles are projected to play inside as well. You can do both. So I mentioned earlier the evolution of the tight end spot, maybe evolution of the tackle spot, too, man. You can play outside. You can slide inside and play that position as well. Again, the more you can do, the better for a ball club. We're watching film with this guy right now. He can definitely move. He has big hands, violent ball player. I think this is a good pick for the Green Bay Packers. What do you have to protect your biggest asset, and that is Jordan Love?
Yeah. What about, Ray Roberts always talks about having a PhD in one position, and do you kind of worry about that when, you know, you got these guys that are offensive? Like with Troy, they never talked about him really being a tackle at all, but he played tackle, and, you know, they're moving these guys around. Yep. I don't know. It's kind of, I felt like we were sort of getting away from that whole Tom Cable thing. I mean, getting defensive players or anybody to play offensive line. And, you know, to me, I feel like I'd rather have a guy that he played guard, and he's going to play guard in the NFL. What do you think?
I think you got to be a little more interchangeable because those defensive linemen are moving around too.
Yeah.
You know, some of those great pass rushers aren't just on the edge. And there's our cheesehead that's not too happy about
the Lions fans just mocking him. That is hilarious. All right, the Bucks pick is in. We'll get you that when we come back. They're followed by the Arizona Cardinals and the Buffalo Bills as our coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft continues live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center, Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
Coming towards the end of the first round with the 26th overall pick, Graham Barton, center out of Duke, is headed to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is the latest pick as the Arizona Cardinals are now on the clock with pick number 27. So
just talked about him.
Yeah, Graham Barton, center.
Yeah,
he's a guy that he thought perhaps could fall, or maybe if he fell into the second round, the Seahawks could move into the second round, but not to be, as he is headed to Tampa Bay, and the Arizona Cardinals already have their pick in at 27, so we'll see who they go with after they took Marvin Harrison Jr. with
them. You know, it's so fascinating to look at this in totality, right, just the bulk of it, and... I mean, you knew coming into this draft that it would be the best offensive line draft in a long, long time that we can remember. And now seven offensive tackles. And this guy was, you could list him as a tackle. They list him as a center because he's got 31.5-inch arms and he can't play tackle in the NFL because of that length. But he did at Duke. I mean, he played it at a really high level there. And so now we have our eighth offensive lineman, Wyman. And let me remind you, Byron Murphy, our newest Seattle Seahawk, the only D tackle.
Yeah, well, and like I keep saying, I mean, offensive line's not sexy. It's hard for people to get behind it and get really excited about it. You want that unit to, obviously, they're very important. And look at, you know, what it's led to. I mean, remember when the Seahawks had Walter Jones and Steve Hutchinson and Robbie Toback, and I'm like, it was never a concern.
Do you think it still feels that way, or do you feel it turn a little bit? Like, San Fran's got swag up front. Detroit, Penei Sewell, like, those dudes beat people up. Philadelphia with Lane Johnson and their run to the Super Bowl. Like, do you feel like that might be turning a little bit, that, no, actually, we do need an O-line, and you could be cool being an O-lineman?
No,
you don't feel that. Okay, all right.
To us football guys, yeah, but to the average fan, they don't.
It's not cool to be an old lineman.
Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Darius, Darius Robinson is the latest pick, edge rusher out of Missouri, going to the Arizona Cardinals with the 27th overall pick. That's an interesting jacket right there, I'll tell you what. But the Buffalo Bills. Your Buffalo Bills, Bob.
Bills.
You said we talked about who you were curious to see.
Never been a Buffalo, Bob.
Curious to see who the Bills are going to draft since they got rid of Stephon Diggs and what they may do there. So they are currently on the clock, followed by the Cowboys and the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, let's see what they do. I think they need a receiver. You still got Ladd McConkey, a receiver I really like out of there. You got Xavier Worthy, who ran the fastest 40 time of all time. So you got some options out there. I'm interested to see what they do. But Josh Allen needs weapons. He lost his number one, his number two. He's got a couple good tight ends over there, Kincaid being one of them, one of my favorite tight ends out of Utah. I think you need to make sure that Josh Allen feels like he can still compete, because what has been the knock on him? Looks good during the regular season, will win a couple games in the playoffs, but then you got to run into Pat Mahomes and the rest of the great quarterbacks in the AFC. So give this man some weapons. I hope that's what they do.
I was looking at Spencer Rattler, and it brought me to Xavier Leggett. Have you seen him? Yes. Anybody?
Yeah.
So I was talking about, and I wouldn't be mad if they went and got a receiver here sometime soon, but he reminded me of Anquan Boldin, who was just the toughest dude ever, but he's like 230 pounds.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, we were talking about what would be the weirdest pick in the first round by Schneider. Probably receiver, you know, but just because you're so set, meaning from that standpoint. But, yeah, I would love to see. I feel like John does damage down in the later rounds. You know, we were just talking to him about that, about Sherm and Cam and Richard. Who else? KJ Wright and, Reek Woolen. I mean, everybody's focused on this, the first round, and it's the sexy part of it and everything. But, man, I think where you really make your hay is in those later rounds, which are coming up here.
Look at this war room in Arizona. Arizona's been a mess, right? Just a dumpster fire. And look at them. They're all just watching the TV right there. It's interesting. Like, they care what the perception is. They're listening like hawks. And they're watching their guy. And this is a little bit of a reach. This is a one-hit wonder, this Darius Robinson. 5 years at Missouri, one really productive year, and one amazing Senior Bowl. Like, coming out of that Senior Bowl, that guy right there was the absolute talk of it. And then over the last couple months, you went back and watched the tape. You're like, ooh, I don't see a lot of that on tape. Or I see just kind of one season of it on tape. Like I need a little bit more of it. This feels to me like as far as a reach goes of the first round, there have not been many of them. This is one to me that feels like maybe a Senior Bowl and just a 1 year really blew him up into a first round pick. Mm. And by the way, couldn't happen to a better organization. So go Arizona.
Yeah.
Fit right in with whatever dysfunction may be happening there.
The more you read about, you know, I remember there was a big article about Arizona and the culture down there. And in the beginning, I was like, big deal. And then I kept reading and reading and reading. And then it's like, oh my God, it's a mess.
Yes.
Down there from the top down. Yep. So, and that looked like the most dysfunctional room ever. There was like six guys.
That's right.
Everybody else has like 15, 20 people, and they had these six guys standing there, and they looked very...
They don't trust nobody.
Uninspired.
Yeah. You got burner phones, and you know, it's very dysfunctional.
Chiefs,
over there.
Chiefs traded up. Chiefs were picking 32nd, final pick of the first round. They traded up into pick number 28 with the Buffalo Bills, and their pick is in, so we'll see who they felt motivated to make that trade with, or that trade to get. And
Me Xavier Worthy here. Can you imagine Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy with Patrick Mahomes?
Can he hang on to the ball? They just want somebody who can hang on to the ball there. They led the league in drops. Obviously didn't impact the season.
Maybe Roger Rosengarten here, another Husky. We can get our fourth Husky drafted, a guy that's been kind of at the bottom of the first round. He'd be yet another offense tackle. Seven of them have gone.
So. You think they got to go offense, right? I mean, Pat Mahomes didn't have his greatest season, but once it got into the playoffs, he did his thing with less. And that defense really held it down with Chris Jones and Snead and everybody else over there. You would hope,
but
again,
they got rid of Snead.
Last year with Snead. Well, you would hope that they would, again, the same way that I'm hoping the Buffalo Bills take care of Josh Allen mentally, it's the same way I'm looking at the Chiefs and saying, you have to take care of the best player in the league and make him feel like you guys are invested in him, even though financially you are.
So you're thinking receiver here, potentially.
I hope it's receiver.
I mean, you got the best tight end in the league with Travis Kelce, which, by the way, let me ask you this. It's something, again, Dave and I talked a lot about. Looking at the numbers historically for the Seahawks, the greatest statistical tight end in their history, you know who that is?
Jeremy Stephens?
Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham.
John Carlson.
Jimmy Graham is statistically their greatest tight end in the history of the Seahawks organization.
He was here for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't here that long, but it just shows you how little the tight end has played a part in terms of piling up numbers. They've been Zach Miller, great blocker, things like that. But
not longevity, right? They just have not had
Since the not even Pete era. Mm-hmm. This is from the inception of the organization until today. It's just never been a position that's been of great production for them. Do you see that potentially ever changing, or at least under McDonald? Is that something that potentially is going to be different?
Ryan Grubb used those tight ends pretty well at Washington. You know, we were talking earlier about him a little bit in the scheme and the system. He was different, and I think why he jumped from the college game, never having experience in the NFL, none. Like Cliff Kingsbury, right, jumped to the NFL. At least he played for the Patriots. He was around it. Grubb has been a college lifer, but his system is a matchup system. You'll hear this from college, the guys that when I talk college to pro and, hey, what's the biggest difference? They all say the same thing. In college, we have a system. In the NFL, you have matchups.
Yep.
And Ryan Grubb's system was not a college system. It thrived on, I'm going to create a one-on-one for Rome. I'm going to create opportunities for Jalen in the middle. I'm going to create opportunities for my tight ends and Devin Culp and Jack Westover and all the production he had there. And I know for Mike McDonald, it had to be, ooh, I like this guy's ball. This is a college dude with all that background, but he totally gets the NFL game. His system and his matchup system is going to fit really, really well here with the Seahawks and utilize, Dave, what you want. Let's go 3-by-1. And we're not going to think about getting the ball to DK. We're going to force the ball. We're going to get him a one-on-one situation to take advantage of.
Yeah, that's interesting because Bob brought up the fact that he kind of jumped the line, right? I mean, typically you go from offensive coordinator in college to running back coach or whatever. And so, yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I think I'm just so curious this year. This is kind of exciting, really.
Does this pick tonight give you any sense? Does it help any of your curiosities?
Not really.
Not really, right? I mean, no, I would agree with that. I don't want to make something out of nothing. I mean, it's the first little piece of the puzzle. That's not true. Free agency were pieces of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the draft, with John here and knowing how important it is, the line of scrimmage matters.
Yeah. Well, now, and that's where they had their biggest problem. And that's also where they, you know, made their biggest flashiest offseason signing was Leonard Williams. So you get that part of it secured. And, you know, I was talking about that kind of with offensive line where, you know, you just every single position you felt really good. Like Gray, what was his name? The offensive guard, Gray.
Chris Gray.
Chris Gray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was probably like, and I'll put this nicely, like the weak link. I mean, everybody else was so good, you know, that and Chris was a really good football player. Yes. So I feel like, you know, your defensive line, you got a lot of options. You know, Jaron Reed had a good half a year and, you know, you see what Big Cat can do. And now you get this young kid in there and you feel pretty good about that defensive line.
I think this pick solidified what they're doing. You look at all the moves they made during the offseason, linebackers, safety, you sign Leonard to a big deal. Now you go after a defensive tackle. Yep. They're saying, all right, we might have enough on offense for right now. Let's go ahead and address this defense and make sure we have the type of players that we want to execute this game.
Yep. Commissioner's here with the Chiefs pick, who traded up to number 28 for this player, and here he is with the announcement.
The life-changing wishes that make a wish it grants. One important wish was requested by a young man by the name of Justin Laverne, who was diagnosed with renal failure at age 15 and received a kidney transplant from his father just last year. Justin's love for football and the Chiefs got him through those treatments. Please welcome Justin to the stage, whose wish is to announce the first round draft pick for his beloved Kansas City Chiefs. I'd like all of you to join me in cheering on Justin as his wish comes true. The floor is yours, Justin. Go get him, baby.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 28th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. With the 28th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, select Xavier Worthy!
Mentioned that name a few moments ago. Xavier Worthy, wide receiver out of Texas, headed to the Kansas City Chiefs. So we will talk more about that. The Dallas Cowboys are now on the clock as our coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft continues live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
Well, the picks are rolling quickly as the Dallas Cowboys just made a pick of Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, almost 6'8", 311 pounds. And the Cowboys, they were just flashing to their room wherever Jerry was. It's not like any other room. It looked like very futuristic.
Yeah. He probably put like $300 million into that.
It looked like something you'd see in an Austin Powers movie or something.
Yeah, it did look like a movie set almost. Tyler Guyton, is he maybe too tall though?
He's a big dude.
Six foot eight. Mm-hmm. Nearly 6'8".
Hey, yeah. Mamas, let your babies grow up to be offensive tackles.
Please. Yeah.
Eight of them.
Eight offensive tackles.
Eight of the 29 picks in this draft have been offensive. And that even include Barton. He played it. So you could say nine. Nine of the 29, almost a third of the picks, offensive tackles.
Yeah, you know, I really like Stone Forsythe. I think his feet are good, but he's got a challenge, man, of getting those hips down. And I'm just wondering, you know, like it. Same thing with like quarterbacks, right?
You can get to a point where you're a little too tall. Yeah, we're especially leverage wise. But this, I mean, Amarius Mims is 6'8". That Guyton kid is 6'8". We've got 6'6", 6'6", 6'6". I mean, these are just different kind of guys. You knew this would be a good offensive line draft. You heard that repeatedly. This has been a great offensive line draft.
Mm. Well, the Ravens pick is in. They'll be followed by the San Francisco 49ers and then the Buffalo Bills, who made that trade with the Kansas City Chiefs. So they will wrap up the first round with the Buffalo Bills pick. We'll see what the Ravens go with as they show their draft.
You know what they typically do? And I went back and looked just out of curiosity with Mike McDonald. They usually take a big school guy that's been hyper productive. like 9 of their last 10 first rounders has been a Power 5 big school player that has had a lot of production over his 3 years as a player. So could that be Cooper DeJean? You know, I know they already have Kyle Hamilton. Could that be the guy that I've referenced a few times? Harvey, the defense, a tackle out of Illinois, 2-time Big Ten All-Conference player, a D-tackle. As we sit here right now, 8 tackles have gone. 1 defensive tackle is gone, and he's a Seahawk.
Well, let's see what they went with. Here's Roger Goodell.
2024 NFL Draft. The Baltimore Ravens select Nate Wiggins, defensive back, Clemson.
So another cornerback off the board, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson going to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep, and he would check that box. He kind of look at how did Ozzie Newsome and now Eric DaCosta year after year after year after year hit on their first round picks, right? They're number one. Their guys have made 5X money over the last like 10 years from 2011 to 2019. Their draft picks. Whoa, that's an
inappropriate. Whoa, I'm very worried.
Whoa.
Very worried about that outfit.
Whoa. We're going to have a wardrobe malfunction there in a moment.
Thank goodness they got off that shot.
Oh, I'm glad she wasn't more excited. That could have gone the wrong way.
Not real happy, thankfully, he went at 30, because if he goes at number 10, we have a problem.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there would have been some jumping up and down.
Yeah, a whole different show.
I think that top would have popped right off. Wowzers.
Bump is just tapping out of this conversation.
But fastest corner at the draft, this dude can absolutely fly. He's a big school kid out of Clemson. He's got lots of production over the years, and he becomes now our 4th cornerback drafted late, you know, kind of all late in this first round, but a little bit run on those corners.
All right, now who are the hated 49ers going to go after? What is the hole they need to fill? What is their need? What's going to make them a problem for the Seahawks? Who are they going to bring in to cause heartache and headaches for the Seahawks?
Well, last year, Hufanga was hurt. You look at safety spot. I think Cooper DeJean or DeJean, depending on how you want to say it, could be a pick right there. They also lost a linebacker to an Achilles injury. Maybe they're the ones to jump off that linebacker spot. Chase Young isn't with the team anymore. Maybe they look at that defensive line. I think offensively, they're fine. Maybe you want to grab an offensive lineman. You're looking at the center spot. You still got the kid from Oregon who is available. So we'll see.
Just be careful about that shot here. Okay. Oh, she turned around, thankfully.
Wow, there's a lot of jumping going on.
There's support there now.
Oh, people at home are going, I don't know what's going on there.
And Dabo's in the house. So, yeah.
So you think defense is where they're
going
to...
Yeah, I think they're going defense. And then, again, if they were to go offense, especially at the receiver spot, then that would make you believe that maybe they're not going to force the issue with Brandon Ayuk. But I'm anticipating defense.
All right. Well, we'll come back and find out exactly what the 49ers did. Still 3.5 minutes left on the clock. They'll be followed by the Bills. And now the... and then the Carolina Panthers will have that pick right after the Bills. So we'll get into all of that as we continue our coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
Well, we are down to the final pick of the first round as the San Francisco 49ers just went offense. Wide receiver out of Florida, Ricky Pearsall, 6'1", 189 pounds. So they address the offense, giving Brock Purdy another weapon out there. And now the Buffalo Bills on the clock with the final pick of the first round. But Brock, you familiar with Ricky Pearsall?
A little bit. He's a transfer, like a lot of these kids. Is he kind of Cooper Kupp light?
Yeah, I gotta see him block. You know, Cooper Kupp blocks his tail off, but you know, I don't wanna put him in the same.
I mean, he's gonna be a slot kind of guy with elite speed. So more speed than Cooper, not as big as Cooper, but you just wonder in this division. Right, McVay's used those weapons inside so well.
Ooh, goodness.
Yeah, that's
pretty, that's a ridiculous.
Is that physical
catch.
Enough for you, Bumpus? Is that physical enough for you?
I'll take that.
Jeez. That was.
I don't think that was physical. That was hands, baby. The defense was one
hand.
On that
was hand. Ooh. That was one hand. Yeah, caught that ball.
And he went and got it. Like he just wrapped his hand around it. That was.
We used to get in trouble for even attempting to catch a ball with one hand back in my day. Now these kids are just doing it.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Hey, Dave, you want a little update? I know you were so interested in this earlier. 1 center, 6 QBs, 1 tight end, 6 receivers, 8 offensive tackles, 22 of 31 offensive players.
Yeah.
22 of 31. So 5 DNs, 4 corners, one D tackle, and he happens to be in Seattle.
Yeah.
So that 22 offensive guys obviously started with 14 straight, so it's been a little bit more split there. But once again, man, just one defensive tackle. As we wrap this thing up, final pick, that resonates with me.
Final pick, by the way, has flipped. It is now the Carolina Panthers on the clock, trading with the Buffalo Bills. So Buffalo looks like they'll have the first pick of the second round tomorrow, and the Carolina Panthers now move up a spot.
Yeah, and I think you see why John Schneider, with the pick of basically all those guys on defense, all those ends, all those corners, anything he wanted, he went with the 1D tackle that we'll see here. Maybe the kid, you know, out of Illinois goes to Carolina to wrap this thing up. So I don't want to speak too early, but you know, that speaks to where this kid was valued. And I told you earlier in the week, Mark Dominic, the former GM of Tampa, came on our show and said the best defensive player in this draft is Byron Murphy. When you saw a lot of mocks throughout the process, especially early, who did you see 16 to Seattle? Byron Murphy. So I don't know, when the hay gets in the barn here with the first round and we want to evaluate, and we always kind of parse John's words, we used to parse Pete's words, what do they really mean? Here's what it means. Like, there's one D tackle with a first round grade, and we got him here in Seattle.
And they need him by all accounts, because we've talked about how this defense has struggled mightily last year. They were terrible against the run, have been for a few years now. It's just kind of
fans can't be mad at this, right?
I think the hardcore fans understand the needs.
Right. Well, and the other thing too, I talk about a lot is that you know, when you're getting run on, it's demoralizing. It's one thing, okay, they throw a couple, three passes, go right down the field. But when they're just shoving it down your throat, I mean, that's hard to take.
Two games, Dave, of this last year. A lot of wins. Once again, you're right there, right in playoffs to the very, very, very end. But two games stand out. And John Schneider references when he hired Mike McDonald. That can't ever happen again in Baltimore. They went to Baltimore, and they just got mauled and manhandled and humiliated in a way. I mean, Baltimore could have had 700 yards of offense that day. They stepped off the gas.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh at home, playoffs on the line. And they just went right down the field and ran it right down your throat, and you couldn't stop them. I think those two games resonate. I think when you've got to make a pick and you got to continue to build this roster and you've got a new young staff and a new innovative young defensive coordinator, like, hey, man, these can't happen again. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, that cannot happen again. Not while John Schneider and his group upstairs are on this.
Well, they also had the Raiders game as well. Was that last year?
A couple years before,
with Josh Jacobs came in and ran for 200 plus yards. So,
that Carolina that year too also came in and ran, and backups were running all over.
Which speaks to the biggest problem. This has been a problem not just last year, but a number of years now.
Remember the Germany game, and they were averaging.
They played the Germans.
No, they're playing Tampa Bay. Ding dong. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Well, I was just hoping I would get that out of you.
So somebody will text in. It was the Japanese, you
Thank
idiot.
You.
I remember they were average. They had run the ball like 12 times or something ridiculous like that. But they were averaging
Tampa Bay,
60 yards a game, and they were dead last in the NFL. They ran for 161 yards against this defense. And, I don't know what went wrong, but, man, that was a mess.
Yep.
You know what running the football does? Opens everything up for business. The play action, the deep ball, the tight end, everything is open for business when you can run the rock.
Let's get the final pick of the draft. The Carolina Panthers trading up into 32. Here's the commissioner.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 32nd pick to the Carolina Panthers. With the 32nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Xavier Leggett, wide receiver, South Carolina.
Is it Leggett or Leggett?
I thought it was I like Leggett. That double T does something to me.
Let's go with Leggett out of South Carolina, another wide receiver. The final pick in the first round as the Panthers trade up with the Buffalo Bills, who will have the first pick tomorrow in the second round.
What do you think about this bump? I was watching. I thought it was weird because he really stood out to me, but I was watching Spencer Rattler tape, you know, and looking at all the throws that he made and everything. And this guy, man, he is
physical,
solid, and he can run.
Yeah, I like it.
We'll come back and put a wrap on the first round and hopefully hear from John Schneider, Mike McDonald, maybe Byron Murphy as well. All of that coming on the other side of this break as we continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. This is Seattle Sports on 710.